It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Wakey, wakey.
Time to get up.
Good morning, citizens.
Up and at them.
Rise and shine.
This is your wake-up call, people.
Come on, the coffee's on.
We're going to get you guys circulating on Christian radio.
I understand young people. I know what's hip. I know what's on. I know what's lit. I know what's fleek.
What's up, my nerds?
Nerds! I work with a bunch of nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Rise and shine, nerds.
You're tuned in to the Back Row Morning Show, a Monday through Thursday morning show for LTN Radio and proudly a part of the Love Thy Nerd podcast network. I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo. We are caffeine-fueled and ready to talk your ears off. Our show covers a lot of banter-worthy goofiness inspired by current pop culture as well as focused as a focus topic that spans all four shows for the week.
This week on the show, we're taking a look at rivalries and fan loyalty.
But first, let's celebrate some holidays. Thursday, January 26th is Clashing Clothes Day.
Yeah, so you can dress like you do every day, Mo.
You're not funny. For a joke to be funny, there has to be some amount of truth to it.
There has to be a kernel of truth to it.
Yeah, and there's zero truth to that. So, and I post my outfits regularly enough, so
yes,
I can prove it. Vain? I don't think so. But want the praise
you take
for...
Take your photos in a vanity mirror, Mo. Come on.
Oh, kick rocks. Whatever. It's also National Peanut Brittle Day.
Yeah, that's the day you were waiting on. The other day.
Yeah, Monday was Peanut Butter Day, and today's Peanut Brittle.
Look, I'm gonna be real honest. Peanut Brittle
is just expired peanut butter.
No.
You get it?
I get it. But
because it's brittle.
Peanut Brittle.
It's old peanut butter.
Is like an addiction with me. I can't have it, because if I have it, I'm going to eat it every day for the next 2 weeks, and a lot of it.
You have an addictive personality.
I do, but especially for peanut brittle. Peanut brittle does something to me. Like, I'll buy a thing. I'm like, I haven't had peanut brittle in a while. I get a little thing of peanut brittle from Albertsons. Take it home and eat it. I'll eat the whole thing in one sitting and go back the next day and buy another one and another one and another one. I've had to just not eat it anymore. I can't eat it anymore. Can't have it. It's bad for me now.
At least you know your boundaries.
Yeah. But it's so good. I love it.
It's a good thing. So this is a side conversation. I think, you know, having an addictive personality is something that people are very aware of, and it's something that they know is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I think that I lean on the opposite end, where I'm not an addictive personality.
Like, you don't want to commit to anything.
That's the thing. Like, I can easily walk from most anything.
Wow.
Without thinking twice. I could do something for 100 days and then wake up and be like, I'm done.
There's a word for
I don't need to do it anymore. Noncommittal, flaky.
Jerks. That's right. Jerks. You're a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, I know. It's something that I really need to work on, I think.
I don't think so. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I would kill to be able to do that.
That I can just walk from things?
Yeah.
As long as it's the right thing.
It's not like people, but like if it's, yeah, any kind of addictive thing that most people have a problem with. Yeah. I would love to be able to just put down fast food and like, you know what? I don't need that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Walk away from it forever. Can't do that.
Okay, maybe I'm not entirely accurate, because like I have to have a payday every day.
That's true. We talked about that this week. You have a payday every day.
Let's see. I'm gonna try
coffee. Could you just walk away from coffee forever?
I could, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
I could. I would have tea. Okay. I would replace it with something else.
Could you not walk away from caffeine?
That might be difficult.
That's a medical thing.
That's.
I need that to live.
Listen, that's not for me. That's for everyone else.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think you need something for from our next holiday. That's what you should replace it with. What's that?
I'll do it if you do it.
I like green juice.
Well, it's National Green Juice Day.
There's a couple versions of that I like.
I like green juice as well. I'm surprised to hear that you like green juice because of all the things that are in it that you don't like.
Most of the things I don't like, it's a texture reason. So if you, can you get it down to a juice, I'll drink it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I'm going to start. I'm going to take you up on that.
Juice it. Going to take me up on it, Mo?
I'm going to try it.
I'll take it up on you, too. Ooh. Bring you a sushi smoothie.
All right, let's go for this. Let's do it. Do it.
Mo and I have been doing this for well over 500 episodes. In fact, we passed 550 this week.
What?
And we're on our 10th season, meaning we've got a lot of older content that many listening now might not have heard yet. So this is Throwback Thursday, and we're going to bring you a bit from our past.
Enjoy this trip back in time.
So we missed Shark Week. Our morning show debuted a few weeks too late to enjoy that particular strange American quirk.
You keep those words to yourself. It is not strange.
It's strange.
Whatever.
You started just on Discovery Channel of we're going to play shark documentaries for a week, and it became this
huge thing.
Nutball thing. Anyway, but over on Twitter, all the church anons and their followers got in on the Shark Week fun by starting the hashtag Shark Week Hymns. Here are the best ones that we found, starting with the old faithful at Church Curmudgeon, eating all my everlasting arms.
Oh, at the Kevin Welborn says, silent bite.
At Furious Exchin, now bait thou art. Now bait thou art.
At Mustard Seedish, up from the wave he arose.
At Crazy Cat Katie, shark, the herald lifeguard sing.
Ba, la, 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 la. Why do I keep getting Kevin's? At the Kevin Welborn, his eye is on the marrow. That's a good one, Kevin.
That is fantastic. At Pastor Jerkface, oceans.
Oh, goodness. At Jen M. Greenberg, holy, holy, holy.
Holes with you, the body with, in your body.
With the E. Hole with the E.
At Tim _ Fall, there is a fountain filled with blood.
Oh, gross. At Mr. Church Guy.
That's chum, by the way.
Of chum, all ye faithful.
Oh, chum, all ye faithful. Oh, chum, yeah, wow, I misspelled that a lot.
Oh,
chum, all ye faithful.
Uh-huh.
At Youth Group Boy, how great white thou art.
At Jeannie Prinson. Yeah. At Jeannie Prinson, when I survey the wondrous jaws.
At Anahamu. A-N-A-H-N-E, moo. Shark of Cages. Shark of Cages.
And at Mr. Church Guy, a bite in me.
This might be my favorite. A bite in me.
No, I
love it.
His eyes on the mirror.
That one's really good, too.
That one's my
favorite. Oh, gosh. So funny. I'm sad we missed Shark Week. Next year. In the desert rise and bring us hope. As manna feeds us from the skies and he is lighting up our night. Leads the way in darkened times. The king from whom all virtue springs to life and solace brings. A loving groom and unfaithful wife and he is called. Tattered bride adorned in shame.
just one more solemn plea. When I was found in wanting, Jesus paid the debt for me. It was not owed. It was not owed. It was not owed. It was not owed. And Father, let the chords allow just one more solemn plea. When I was found in wanting, Jesus paid.
To the Back Row Morning Show. Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
Mo, what is your fun fact for Thursday? Mo, you there? Hello? Mo? Mo?
Avocados are a fruit, not a vegetable. They're technically considered a single-seeded berry, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You could have said avocado when you were playing the game, and it asked for three berries. Avocado. Yep.
Yes. Gross. Avocados are gross. I don't like them. I like avocado. I don't like guacamole. It's disgusting.
You're insane. Yeah. It could be a food group.
You're insane.
It could be a food group.
All right, well, now it's time for our weird news update.
Here's a real news story that you may not have heard yet.
So, one of the earliest hits during the pandemic was a strange reality show called Tiger King, which featured Carol Baskin, a widow. And the one thing everybody agreed on when the show concluded was she definitely fed her husband to those tigers, right?
Totally.
Totally?
100%.
Okay. Ready for this news story? Carol Baskin's dead husband found alive, but no one noticed until a year later.
He had a twin brother. It ain't him.
Carol Baskin's dead husband's actually alive and no one knew. The Tiger King star's missing ex-husband, Don Lewis, was reportedly found alive in Costa Rica, but the discovery is just now making headlines over a year after the discovery. During November 2021 interview with ITV's This Morning talk show, Baskin 61 said Lewis, who was declared legally dead in 2002 after disappearing a few years before, is alive. However, Baskin told the Post that she was unaware that he was alive until the Tiger King sequel series aired, which I did not even know happened. Mm-hmm. Baskin, the owner of Big Cat Rescue, told ITV the Department of Homeland Security had been in touch with her ex-husband. One of the really exciting things that came out of Tiger King 2 is that they produced a letter from Homeland Security, and it says that a special agent in charge with the FBI at Homeland Security reached out to the sheriff's detective, George Fernandez, which means it has been... this had to have happened after 2002 because Homeland Security wasn't even around until 2002. They said that my husband, Don Lewis, is alive and well in Costa Rica. And yet all of this drama has been made about me having something to do with his disappearance when Homeland Security has known where he is all along. Lewis disappeared in 1997 at the age of 59. He'd be 84 today, as he is 84 today because he's alive.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Interesting. So did he go into like...
He just dipped. He's like, nah, I'm done. And left.
Interesting.
And it got brought to light with Tiger King. And everyone assuming that she killed him.
She did.
Fed him to them tigers. I never watched it either, but
song?
I know Bubba did, and a lot of people did around that time.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Yeah. You watched it all?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Just it's a strange situation all around. But that's been the big meme about Tiger King. Carol Baskin definitely killed her husband.
Carol, there's a whole song about it.
Yeah.
Killed her husband, whacked him. something, snacking. That's how, there's a whole song. 2 years ago, I would have been able to say it.
Got her tiger snacking.
I don't. Carol Baskin.
All right.
Killed her husband, whacked him.
We here at Love Thy Nerd emphasize thoughtful content. Visit lovethynerd.com for a host of amazing articles and a whole network of nerdy podcasts. And follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/lovethynerd, where you'll find game streams, live podcast recordings, and more amazing interactive content.
Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
This week, we are talking about rivalries. Now, first, it was all about brand loyalty. But today, we're talking about fans and fandoms. And to help us are some of our Back Row buds from the Love Thy Nerd Discord. Please welcome back this week for the second time, Brian, otherwise known as Oriole Jedi.
We need the thing.
You want me to do that? They're not going hard.
What it sounds like.
Glad to be back.
Hey, Oriole. And this is cut, just done. No more clapping. And we have Thray also in the chat. For been a while since Thray's been long, I guess.
Thray makes
because you were in that group. No, you were in that group.
She hates it when I
KY. Can. You were in that group with KY and Meg and everybody all in the same house at one point.
Yeah,
that was fun. Anyway, we welcome Thray.
Thray deserves cheer.
Yes, here, there we go.
And then we've got a... Oh, I lost my sound. There we go. We've got a... Dang it.
Hello.
Hello.
Can't get it together, anything. Matt.
We have a third person in the chat as well.
And his name is John C.
Matt, you don't make enough money. I don't make enough money. There's no way he's in this chat.
No, he's there. You just can't see him. Get it? Because you can't.
With Mo, if he's here.
Can't see me. Oh, that's so funny.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, Mo gets lots of imaginary votes.
Now hold on.
Oh, no. I won, and that's all that there is to it. Yeah, at the very least, it was a tie. No. At the very least, it was a tie.
No.
You know what, Mo? You know and I can go out for the superior fries.
When Joe Biden won the presidency, there was a lot of people that are like, excuse me, my vote wasn't counted or something, but you know what? He's still president, so don't have to tell you.
I'm talking about waffle fries.
Just look, this has been that was the most secure election ever, and this was the most secure poll ever.
Whatever makes you feel better.
But anyway,
you hold on. Actually, Oriole, I don't know this for sure. Who did you vote for?
I voted for you.
See, you got two people right here in the chat saying I had the superior list.
That's crazy because I won the poll.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes zero sense, huh?
Except
3-1. Three to one. The math doesn't lie.
All that matters is what's on the paper, and papers
is on. There is no paper anymore.
There
is no paper.
There's video. No. It's all video evidence.
Nope. This is radio. What good is paper anyway?
Facts.
Oh, man. Okay. So we're talking about fan loyalty and not like who's Mo's fan and who's my fan. So we're just going to end that conversation right now.
Oh, no. Put the poll up.
We're not putting a poll up.
I can't vote right now.
I think the most well-known nerd culture fandom war.
Yeah.
Is maybe still Star Wars. Versus Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are similar in names, similar in fandoms. In some places, similar in story, but not all that much.
Yeah,
they're kind of different. Same kind of themes occasionally, but pretty vastly different in most cases. So. I mean, we know where Oriole Jedi stands, right? Like you're just
he's a total Trekkie.
Total Trekkie.
Mm-hmm. Live long and may the force be with you.
Right, exactly.
But seriously, what's been your thoughts in this like little kind of? I mean, I was about to say fun rivalry, but in some places, like it's a real like a real rivalry. Like some people are seriously uptight about this.
For sure. Oriel?
So, I mean, obviously I'm Star Wars, but I enjoy some Star Trek, like the new movies that came out with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. I enjoyed those. I actually went and saw them in theaters and everything. And but yeah, Star Wars has just always held my love. And like, if people don't like Star Wars, that's okay with me. I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't talk to you, or oh, I like Star Trek better. So it's no big deal. It's people have what they love, and I'm glad that they have something that they enjoy. It doesn't have to be what I love. So the whole getting upset about people like, oh, you can't like both, or you have to pick one or the other, it just, I don't understand that part.
What fun is that, Oriel?
If it's in good fun, then yes, it's fun. But when people take it too far and legit have fights,
I agree with you.
To people.
Thray, what are your thoughts on this fandom war?
I think they serve different purposes. I think that one leans more into ethical conversations, and one is hero's journey in different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
One is more personal, one is more societal. Also, the two fandoms originated a decade apart from each other.
Yeah.
So they land different depending on who you're talking to. Most people, you know, remember Star Trek as a TV experience, whether that be the original or next gen or whatever. Yeah, there were movies that did very well, but they were gone to by the TV shows fans.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, on the other hand, was a cinematic experience. People mm-hmm. went to the movies and could only see it in theaters because LucasArts was never going to put it on television. And so then I grew up hearing from nerds that educated me, oh, see, I got it on VHS. So much for that. I went and saw this movie 14 million times because it was never going to be on TV, because he had a bad relationship with Hollywood distributors.
Mm-hmm.
They were in different worlds and they served different purposes. And yeah, Jedi can take a trek in a fight, but if we're talking about a legal debate, I don't know. Spock could probably beat Yoda in a logic contest. That would be an interesting one to listen to. I find the whole debate very interesting. Both groups are extremely passionate about their stuff. However, there is not much crossover as far as if we're trying to make an analogy about something. Very rarely can you make a Star Wars reference in explaining your point in the same way that you would make a Star Trek reference. At least, depending on what you're talking about. I don't know.
Shots
I can't
fired.
Think of my crossover concepts right now. Sorry. Now, as a kid, which one is more fun to play? Definitely Star Wars. Sorry.
Yeah, Mosaic Fan Arcs over here saying the issue with Star Trek is that it never really tried to appeal to a younger audience like Star Wars until just recently. So the fans of Star Trek are growing older. He's 55, so that's why he's a Trek guy. But he's seen all the Star Wars movies the weekend they came out. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember the first thing I ever saw of Star Trek before seeing any of the shows or any of the anything. My parents were going to the movie theater to see Star Trek First Contact. Oh, and that was my first
one with Babe in it. Oh, wait, no, not Babe. The farmer from Babe.
Yeah. And that was my first experience. And I loved it. Mm. And okay. So at, I don't know, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, whatever, year it was, I was like, I'm hooked. Star Trek all the way. And so I started, like, I had posters up in my wall. I was watching all the things I could find on TV. It was mostly Next Generation at that point. So I loved it as a kid. But I liked Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But aside from just the idea of a lightsaber, I don't think I was all that invested in it, you know? And I was... And most of my life in this debate, if we're talking about it, I would always say I would probably pick Star Trek simply because there's so much more of it. It might not all be the best, but there's a lot of really good stuff. All these series, all these movies. And Star Wars was like, at the time, six movies. You had the first three, the original three, and then you had the prequels, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. However, they have done a lot of... catching up just in the last few years.
Yeah.
With Disney Plus, we got The Mandalorian, which is an amazing series.
Yeah.
The Clone Wars series got picked up and finished off. The Bad Batch animated, like all the Star Wars animated stuff, which I haven't given the best of chances yet, but I know I'm in the wrong there. the Boba Fett thing, still so much stuff coming out. The Obi-Wan thing, it was kind of divided on the Obi-Wan series. I actually really liked it. I really liked it.
And like Kabigan actually just said, the books and comics of Star Wars, like that's where when back in like the 90s when I was growing up as a kid, when before the prequel movies came out, I had so many Star Wars books. Like when I would go to the library, that's the section I was going in. Like my parents would go to another part. They knew exactly where they would find me. Half an hour later was where the Star Wars books were.
I will say Star Wars had a massive, massive hold on the books for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like people were really upset when Disney basically kind of came out and said, no, those books aren't canon anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
I wasn't too happy with that because like there were some stories in there that would have been absolutely, I'd always dreamed of movies of those series, like the original Thrawn series was a three book trilogy.
I think
would have been amazing.
Yeah. I haven't read so many of them, but I do remember distinctively reading one about Han Solo and Leia's twin kids.
Uh-huh. Yep. They had twin kids and they had another son named Anakin Solo.
Okay, I don't know if I caught that one yet, but I know that I just remember there was a book that I read that they were both in it. But
anything with Mara Jade in it.
Yeah.
Yes, Mara Jade
just got so much better.
But Star Trek also had quite a few pretty decent books in that same section, including some where they were crossing over with the X-Men. Like it was not comic books, like real books.
Well,
those were good. Those were real good.
I think something else that I find interesting was that Star Trek kind of left things open source where you could have any genre show up in a Star Trek episode.
Mm.
Didn't matter what generation we were looking at, whether it be the original or whatever. So they could tell a lot of different types of stories in just a small span of time. And because it was so open of a world, technically what we would have expected to see is, well, especially if it had come out like today, we would have seen a lot of fan developed adventures and exploration and such.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't grow up in a group that did that specific thing.
But we did have the Star Trek Continues series that was all fan produced.
Yeah.
That came out. And it was actually pretty decent. Even Roddenberry's son came out and said, like, his dad would consider this canon. Like, that was a big deal for them. But Yeah, I agree with that. And you mentioned earlier how the fandoms kind of grew in two different generations, almost. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And the way that you're describing the show, how it could go to every different fandom, I think a better rivalry would have been Star Trek versus Doctor Who. Yeah.
Yeah.
that makes much more sense.
A couple years apart.
Right. They're really close to the same time period, or they are in the same time period, rather close to the same year.
It was just their distribution that would have been different.
Right.
And let's face it, in that era of television, people weren't using VPNs to watch stuff across the pond. So,
right. Yeah. It was so weird. So it's essentially like two different parts of the world having two different versions of the same type of sci-fi show. Yeah.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Let's think about it. That sci-fi show was used for the purpose of commentary and an ethical discussion. Mm-hmm. And by having that ability to, I mean, Doctor Who, clearly we have the ability to travel in time and space and use that justification for arriving in different time periods and looking at different contexts. In Star Trek, we see the same thing, only, oh, we've arrived at a planet in a different stage of development. Mm-hmm. And then they explore the exact same concept or ethical question.
Yep.
That really seemed to be their big thing in both contexts. A lot of philosophy going on in 60s television.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's move into our next one here. We got Marvel versus DC.
Ooh. I'm gonna be loyal to DC even if their movies aren't doing so bad.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Comics wise, DC stuff is really good. Animated movies and TV shows. Really, really good.
Yes.
HBO shows. Dark, but really pretty good.
Yeah.
But movies, yeah, they've been hit or miss. Heavy on the miss.
I mean, growing up, I never was much of a comic book fan.
Yeah.
And so watching the Marvel movies, the MCU, was my first kind of real experience. I mean, I knew Spider-Man and I knew a lot of the big names and all. But like, I remember going to see Guardians of the Galaxy and like, who in the world are the Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, I had never heard of these people before and loving the movie.
Yeah. That was most people's favorite Marvel movie at that point. And most people had never heard of those heroes. Yeah,
exactly.
It's been so well done.
Yes.
But I'm probably, you know, they're going to go, why is she being such a Debbie Downer? But I honestly think that Marvel may have plateaued a little bit.
Why is she being such a Debbie Downer?
But
no, you're absolutely right. They hit that. Look, the arc from Iron Man to Endgame.
Mm. Yep.
Right.
Unprecedentedly good. Couple like lower tier movies in there, but overall, especially as an overarching story, fantastic. Mm-hmm. After Endgame, they're like, how do we do this again?
Something else to do.
How are we going to pull this off again? And it's been a slow build with a lot more hit or miss stuff.
I mean, that was a 10-year adventure, essentially, if you go from beginning with Iron Man to Endgame, which is kind of crazy to think that the 5-year time jump in Endgame would be happening like right now.
Right. Yeah. Because it took them a few years into the future at that point, didn't it? Yeah.
Right. It went from 2018 to 2023. So it's kind of crazy to think about that.
Yeah. I'm excited for where they're going, and I could not be more excited for Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. Like, I think this is going to be a big step forward in the right direction to what they're trying to do with this next saga, but...
Right.
See, maybe I'm jumping on the wrong bandwagon, but I'm more excited to see what Sony's going to do with Spider-Man. I mean...
Yeah, I'm interested. That's just so far away at this point. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. All of it's really good. Movie-wise, MCU's got it in the bag, though. Like, there's no way DC can catch up at this point. Maybe once, you know, I don't know. James Gunn.
They got a kind of rediscover their identity.
Maybe. Because... we'll see.
Yeah, and I think with having one person kind of overarching, heading everything with...
it'll be better. Yeah. It'll
exactly. Be better. Kind of like how Marvel, it was Kevin Feige the entire way, was kind of the overarching grandmaster looking at everything.
Right. Mm. Let's move on to, oh, hold on real quick. Mosaic, because he knows. Mosaic Fan Arc's a big comic guy. Comic-wise, it's currently a toss-up. The independent comic companies are producing better content. I would agree with that. I think DC's comic landscape has gotten muddied in the last decade or so. But for the longest time, they were definitely a top tier of that. But let's move on to, we're going to talk about sports. Now, you know, Mo's been largely quiet in these two nerdy segments.
I mean, I had feelings, yes, but not strong enough ones to weigh in. I'm going to say Star Wars, and I'm going to say DC.
All right.
That's where I land.
We appreciate you.
So I know little about sports. So to kick off my thoughts, I'm going to talk about WWF versus WCW. This has got to be kind of the same mindset that y'all have with different sports rivalries. But back then, the Monday Night Wars were a big deal. It was Monday Night Nitro or Monday Nitro versus Monday Night Raw. And they were on at the exact same time. And you had people flipping back and forth and back and forth. And WCW was kicking everybody's butt. And then they started to dwindle. WWF took over and then bought them out. Like, that was a big, big thing. It would be like Star Trek bought Star Wars, you know? Like, what on earth is happening here? How is this possible? And what are the possibilities coming from this? And for a couple of years, it was like that. And then after that, it just kind of be like, well, now there's no competition, so there's nothing driving us to be better. And, well, let's just kind of suck for a while. And that's what happened with wrestling. Till AEW came around, and now they're trying to get a little bit better. But anyway, you had a loyalty, and I know when I started thinking about WWF versus WCW, what you said last week, Mo, about how when your football team or whatever is going, you're cheering them on and everybody else can go die. Mm-hmm. And then once your team loses, then you're like, okay, well, we kind of like this other team that's our rivals, and now we're going to root for them just because our team's out. I kind of get that now with WWF versus WCW, because I was team WWF all the way. When the commercial was on, I was going to go watch WCW for a little bit because I didn't hate it that much. So, I mean, you had that rivalry thing. I'm almost never on the winning side of a rivalry. Like, it's always, I always pick the loser in the battle. So I was really happy when WWF bought WCW. But like with sports, I have a list of some of like the biggest sports rivalries ever.
Okay.
Here. So I know the first one is Red Sox versus Yankees.
Oh, gosh.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Historically classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know about that one.
Yeah.
The Red Sox were American League's dominant franchise until selling Babe Ruth to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 1919.
Yeah.
Kicked off an 86-year period of no World
drought.
Series win.
Right, yeah. A full drought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've made... didn't Jimmy Fallon make a movie based around this?
Yes. Yeah. Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch. That's right. Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Because it was
for anyone that beats the Yankees. I don't care.
It was in 2004 when they finally won the series that year. And they made the movie in 2005, I think, is when it came out.
Yeah, that's right. We got Giants versus Dodgers. We got Redskins versus Cowboys.
Ooh.
Which,
go ahead, Oreo.
You know, it's actually, I found something out about that rivalry that I didn't even know about the Cowboys and the Redskins, is that it actually started before the Cowboys were a franchise.
Really?
Because a guy who wanted his own, he was a Texas oil tycoon. He wanted his own NFL team in the 50s. He tried buying the Redskins, but the deal fell through. So then he pushed for the creation of the expansion team, which was blocked until the Redskins owner found out that the guy who wanted the Cowboys franchise own the rights to the Washington's fight song. So someone else owned the rights to the Redskins fight song. And then a deal was reached that they gave him the rights to the fight song. Man. And that's how the Cowboys came.
Wow.
Man. Hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how often do you guys sing NFL fight songs?
Never.
I mean,
yeah, it's
same.
I sing every time Oriole comes on.
Okay. Just checking.
We have a golf one here. Arnold Palmer versus Jack Nicklaus.
Whose tee is rivalry. Better?
Arnold Palmer, hands down.
But it was a respectful rivalry. It was respectful. Oh, yeah. They were
it was
nice.
A gentleman's
they
rivalry.
They were nice to each other.
It's kind of like
because it's golf.
The modern day version of that would be Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. So North Carolina versus Duke.
Oh. Tar Heels all day. All day, every day.
Why?
Nah. Just because.
Nah, just because.
Just because.
I'm not.
You don't want to be a Dookie.
Because I'm a Terps guy, so it's still from the ACC days of going against Duke and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But if North Carolina and Duke were playing each other, I'd always go for North Carolina.
Tar Heels.
Yeah, I wasn't a... couldn't stand Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're a Duke fan, you're a Dookie.
Especially,
wants to be a Dookie.
Mosaic fan arc says neither. The only way is if the ground opens up and swallows them both. Coming from a Kentucky fan,
that's fair.
That's what brackets are for. You gotta have enough rounds between you and them so that they're gone by the time you get there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of like with the Orioles. I always say I'm always rooting for three teams. Whoever the Orioles. Whoever's playing the Red Sox, and whoever's playing the Yankees. So.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
Not in that college football. I'll go with you all the way. But
football, anyway. I'm rooting for the Ravens and whoever's playing the Steelers.
Yeah.
What about Michigan versus Ohio State?
Nah.
Go blue.
What are some other ones, Oriole, Mo, Thray, that I don't know of?
Well, I think
No, you just mentioned the rivalry, so let's not gloss over that.
Yeah, Michigan versus Ohio State. I know that's a big rivalry.
That is the game.
When Ohio Stadium opened in 1922, Michigan spoiled the party with a victory of 22-0.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She says.
It got to the point that Domino's Pizza sold the location in Columbus, Ohio, to Bo Schembechler, the head coach of the Michigan football team, so that every purchase that those college kids would make would be putting money in his pocket.
Wow.
So when you were talking about Heinz Stadium,
Heinz Stadium
like,
last week.
Mm-hmm. That sort of thing goes down all of the time.
I can't have that type of ketchup. Uh-huh. People are going to think I like the team that I hate.
Yeah, exactly.
That stuff goes down all the time. See, the other thing is, though, that when you have these types of rivalries, is that it's your rival best friend. So, like, you're allowed to beat on them and beat them and defeat them and go, ha-ha. But, like,
but nobody else.
But no one else.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, excuse me, this is a family fight. What are you getting involved?
Yeah.
Go away.
So, and go ahead.
Why bowl games, I'll support any Big Ten team. Mm. It's like, excuse me, this is a family conversation. You guys go away.
Yeah,
I do not care. But anyway,
I really didn't know you were such a big sports fan, Thray. This has been eye opening.
Surprising. Oriole, would you feel that same way when it comes to like the Browns and the Bengals in reference to the Steelers? Because I've heard so many people say, "Oh, the Ravens aren't really the Steelers' rival." It's the Browns, or, and I'm like, but no, it's not.
In recent history, no, it's not. It's the Ravens Steelers because, mm-hmm. I mean, yes, back before, obviously before the Ravens,
right?
It was the Browns and the Steelers. They were a big rivalry, mm-hmm. but ever since the Browns came back and they haven't done anything. It's hard to say that that's going to be a rivalry when one team has dominated so much like that. I mean, with the Ravens and the Steelers, you always know it's going to be like a close game.
Yeah.
Most games are like a field goal is what wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Fanner says, if it's Brown, flush it down.
Please. Please.
Yes, Zach Fanner. I mean, like, I still remember some big moments in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry. Like the Thanksgiving 2013 game, Mike Tomlin stepping out onto the field as Jacoby Jones is running a kickoff back, and he would have scored.
Yes!
But he had to dodge out of the way of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah!
And he got tackled.
Uh-huh. And it was very clear, super obvious. Yeah. Tomlin's got his arms crossed and his hand up, and he just takes one giant step forward right onto the field. And then he's like,
please tell me there
what?
Was a flag. What? Please tell me there was a flag.
There was a flag, but it just gave him some more yards.
Yeah, there wasn't.
But, I mean, he got fined a bunch of money. He got fined.
I would hope.
He got fined a bunch.
But yeah, but it didn't really hurt him that much. Of,
yeah.
Is this what it feels like to be you? Like, I don't know what's going on.
It really, yeah, that's exactly
y'all are all like, yeah, man. And I'm like, what?
Uh-huh. The head coach, the head coach of the Steelers stepped out on the field.
To like, interfere with a running player in the other team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's messed up.
Uh-huh.
I can see that. That's messed up.
Yeah. Okay. And then you've got every Steelers fan that's like, no, that was an accident. He didn't do that on purpose.
Exactly.
Tomlin's a stand-up guy. He would never. And it's like,
and he was standing up right there.
Yeah, you got to stand up to walk.
He has his, he had his back to the thing, but he's looking up at the Jumbotron and watching the play happen.
So he stepped backwards onto the field?
Yeah, he stepped backwards.
Oh, like, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he knew what he was doing. Yeah. And
he totally knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
See, that's almost as bad as when the ref doesn't move fast enough.
Ref gets in the way. I've seen a few of those.
And
clips.
I think they actually teach the kids, just run over them. Oh, that's going to make relations real good. It's like, excuse me, ref, can you call this in my favor? I'm sorry. I'm still recovering from the concussion I received when you ran me over.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I've been saying it for years, but for the better part of 8 years at this point, that there has to be accountability when it comes to calls that refs make. If it's reviewed the next day and, you know, all the commentary and whatever, everybody's like, yeah, that was the wrong call. There needs to be, the refs need to be fined. There needs to be accountability on their part because it's too easy at this point for refs to be like, well, sorry, you know, and to have an actual favorite team and make calls in favor of that team. Do you know what I mean?
I've also sat through the game where the ref is so insecure that every single play gets reviewed and you sit there for 45 minutes getting it reviewed.
No, that's
by the
fair.
Guy in New York.
That's
or Las Vegas, depending on where they're coming from.
That's fair. But how many refs do we have out on the field at a time?
They're at a different place when they're reviewing the stuff.
Well, because the official association has to review these things.
I assumed that there was just like a panel of people there watching on the little screens, like off in the corner of the stadium.
Once upon a time.
Okay, it did happen like that?
They're legit on like a...
Wow.
Like how we're doing a... Like, I wouldn't say it's obviously not a Discord call, but it's legit like that where they're watching along with
just on the little screen while they're talking
to someone who's watching it on other screens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, think about it. if you have an unnamed guy in a city far, far away, and somebody don't like the call, you can just blame the man far, far away.
Don't blame me. Blame the man. Blame the man over there. I want to end with a thought based on something that Topher wrote on Facebook. And it was after the game that the Ravens lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens lost.
Yeah.
Topher wrote, well, guess I'm a Jaguars fan now until next season.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, if your team is out, why do you feel like you have to root for another team? Can't you just be done rooting for this season? Just root for sports. Yay, sports. That was met with only laughter. As if I was some rude. No. Explain to me why you have to root for someone when your team is out.
Okay. Do you watch a movie and not root for one side versus the other? The good guy versus the bad guy. Evil versus villain. Good versus evil.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to watch sports and have a team and root for that team.
So as not a Ravens passionate fan, I cannot speak to that exact situation or the rivalries tied to it because that always complicates matters. But traditionally in a tournament setting, if the team that you lose to goes all the way, you like to justify, yeah, but if that one call had gone different or if we'd just played a little bit better, we would have been in the top.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, we practically got second place, you see.
Mm.
We lost to the team that went all the way, so.
You can have some
bitterness from another season or from their actions and then just want them to fall every single time. So there's two different philosophies to this, but.
That episode of The Office where Dwight had given that rousing speech at the sales convention. And Michael's like, I inspired the guy that inspired 1,000 guys. So I inspired 1,000 guys.
Sure. This is the justification.
I lost to the team that beat everybody else. So I'm basically second place.
Right.
For the rest of the season, I'm a Bills fan. So
Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see them win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your movie analogy wasn't bad. I get your like, yeah, you're going to still watch and you're going to want to root for a certain side. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. Like I'm thinking about wrestling and I was about to disagree with you and saying, you know, there's some matches that are happening and I don't care about either side, but even in the ones I don't care about either side, I still kind of want one to win over the other.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Does affect you.
Yeah.
Overall, it affects how the overall lineup looks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's going to affect the end game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get it.
And future seasons, to be totally honest.
All right, so I haven't been following the season at all because I don't ever. I jump into being a football fan at the Super Bowl every year. Mm-hmm. And I get really into the game.
Commercials for the win.
No. I get really into the game. I really
He
do.
Actually likes watching
really
the game.
I like the game.
I think that he would actually enjoy watching football if he would just commit to it. But
I don't have the time to commit to it. Yeah, I probably would enjoy it if I did.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know who's on their way. I'm assuming we haven't found out who's going.
No, not yet.
No. So, of the people on their way to the Super Bowl, who do y'all want to be in the Super Bowl this year? Who's still in the running?
This will be broadcast at a later date.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this will be on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
It's Thursday, so.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Oriole.
I would want to see the Bills and the Bills and the Cowboys.
Really?
Ooh, the Cowboys.
Yeah, because I would actually like to see, because, I mean, that was some of the, it would be kind of like a throwback Super Bowl because in the 90s, early 90s, the Bills and the Cowboys played each other in like three straight Super Bowls, but the Bills lost.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys were running things in the 90s.
Yeah.
Early 90s. And
before the Ravens came to town, I would root for the Cowboys. Just mainly because I didn't like the Redskins. So
wow.
I feel like for the Cowboys because of that.
I feel like if that scenario happened, would you still go for the Bills?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Given that we're right next door to the Cowboys.
Yes, 100%. I am not a Cowboys fan. Mm.
But loyalty to your region.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, look at me. The Redskins are literally in Maryland. They're not in Washington. They're literally in Maryland.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for a team down in Texas where I had never been.
What about you, Thray?
Well, as a college football fan, what I do is I wait till the Super Bowl and see who has the most alumni on their seat, team, and that's who I cheer for.
Wow.
But just looking at the remaining brackets right now, Cowboys Bengals could be fun. Ugh. I've got friends that support Mo hates both those groups. So
you made Mo almost throw up in her mouth right there.
I'm sorry. I will cheer for whoever my friends are heavily endorsing. I'm honestly more involved in the fact that I want the commercials to be better this year.
Yeah, last year they were kind of underwhelming. This year I hope they're good.
So yeah, I will watch the game. I will judge it for quality, but I will basically go, oh, this team has these alumni. This team has these alumni. I remember him when he was 20. You know, that sort of thing. And just cheer them on.
All right, Mo, final thought for you. Who do you want to be in the Super Bowl? Bills and who else?
I'm either going Bills and Cowboys or Bills and Jaguars. Either one.
Well, it can't be the Jaguars.
So Bills and Cowboys then,
Bills
too?
And Cowboys,
but you want the Bills to win.
I do, 100%.
Yeah, I would want the Bills to win in that scenario, and the Bills-Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought y'all were going to have a fun rivalry this year, but I guess not.
The Bills.
I guess you're always going to be on the same team no matter
49ers
what.
49ers and Bengals.
Bengals. Mosaic saying 49ers and Bengals, yeah.
So.
Well, I know who Silver wants to win because she's a big Giants fan.
Oh. Oh, right.
Yeah. She is a huge Giants fan. So.
That's so ironic because she's so small.
She will not like the fact that I'm going with the Cowboys.
That was low. That was...
So we're so tiny. Why does she cheer for the Giants?
I don't ever want to see the Bengals in a Super Bowl. Ever. Ever.
So what have they done to you, Mo?
Here's the thing. So many years, they were the team.
Yeah.
Like, they were number one within our division.
Really?
Yeah. For so many years. Oriole? Right?
Not really, actually.
Yes.
The Bengals were all...
Browns were last. We were third. And then Steelers and Bengals always fought for that number one spot.
For a few years, yeah, there was a few years where they
enough
were
years that it is scarred, Mo.
And apparently, like, I don't know.
No, there were a few years where we were, I mean, obviously we were better than the Browns, but because the Browns are just
garbage.
Browns, but yeah, there were a few years that the Bengals were actually pretty really good then. They were fighting the Steelers for those top spots.
Right. And we would start out really good at the beginning of the season every year. Every year.
Yeah.
We would start out really good.
How early season goes.
Well,
I mean, everybody gets their hopes up and then they lose a lot. That's just how NFL works.
Yes, but we would win. We would actually play really well, and then something would end up happening, and we would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's a three game of endurance, and they play all the young people at the beginning of the season, and then they trade them around.
No,
and then they go, "What happened?
No,
I don't know where they went.
No." That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all.
They break vertebrae.
No, Flacco would shoot us. That's what ended up. That's what would end up happening is we would have the worst. We had the worst quarterback ever. Ever. Anyway,
we gave him way too much money after he did well in one postseason.
We really did. The only thing that we had going for us at the time. Well, I shouldn't say the only thing. We had Jacoby Jones and we had Ray Lewis and we had. Oh. Steve Smith Sr. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but then, like, come mid-season.
Wide receivers are never our forte.
Huh?
Wide receivers have never been our forte. We've never had, like,
listen, offense has never been our forte. Okay?
So how do you score?
Oh, our kicker?
The defense.
Okay. I hear that. I can't. I don't have.
Justin Tucker's the only way that we got points on the board at any given reason.
I mean, I remember in the 2000 season when we won the Super Bowl, but there was a 5-game stretch that the Ravens did not score a touchdown and they only scored field goals. And Matt Stover was the reason why they won 2 of those 5 games. They went 2-3 in that. And I mean,
if you lose in a game because you couldn't kick a field. Oh, okay, I got to watch my words here. If you only put field goals on the board, then it's not so much that you won, then it's that the other team lost because it's a team sport.
Okay, that's fair.
If your special team is the only team that showed up, then you've not done your job.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing.
Our defense was amazing that year, giving up 165 points during the entire 16-game season. So averaging that out, only 10 points a game they were giving up. And so that's how they also won, only with field goals. And Matt, sorry, you're not being saved. I saw your comment.
What?
No one is coming to save you. No one is coming to save you.
Okay, actually, should we wrap this up?
We actually should, because this has been the longest segment of the week.
Y'all went on and on about your stuff. On and on and on. Whatever.
Oh, man. Thank you. Y'all. Thanks. Y'all so much for joining us for the chat. Y'all brought a lot to it. There's no doubt about it. Y'all brought a lot to the
Bills and Cowboys Super Bowl.
You next time.
No, Bills I did this Cowboys. On purpose. I did this on purpose. Yeah. That's why I had to be
a Tuesday in football talk.
Had to be Matt a Discord discussion.
There you go.
Right, yeah. Love you guys. Thank y'all so much.
Love y'all.
Love you guys.
Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Before we wrap up our Thursday show, I didn't say the actual line that we're supposed to go to second with. That's going to do it for today's discussion, and we'll wrap up our look at the rivalries in our lives. Before we wrap up our Thursday show, what's a good verse to send us out on today?
The memory verse for Thursday, January 26th is Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
That's going to do it for the Back Row Morning Show.
We air our daily morning shows exclusively on LTN Radio, LTNOnAir.com, every Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern with an encore at 10 a.m.
But if you miss a day or just can't catch the show live, you can find the podcast versions every afternoon they air. Searching the Back Row Morning Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your favorite podcast apps. We'd also love a good review and 5 stars, like, you know, right now, if you don't mind. Like, if you're listening to the podcast, just unlock your phone, just right where you're at, pull up the app. It's already playing, should already be open somewhere. Just, you know, just real quick, just tap that 5 stars real quick. You don't even have to leave a review if you don't want. I love it. Just it's great. That'd be great. Yeah. Just please. We're desperate for validation.
Check out lovethynerd.com. It is positively jam-packed with articles, podcasts, and videos that cover a wide range of nerdy topics. And just like any ministry, we are largely supported by those willing to partner with us financially.
I'm actively working to make LTN my full-time job, but in order to do that, I need people who will join my partner team. I have a handful of awesome folks already who help support me in this ministry, and I am extremely grateful and honored for each one of them. And if you would like to join these amazing people, you can visit lovethynerd.com/radiomat or reach out to me directly. Love Thy Nerd is a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible.
Go follow us on all the socials at The Back Row LTN. And if you really want to get into the show, even literally, join us at lovethynerd.com/discord and join the Back Row Buds in the Gain Access channel. And watch along when we record live on twitch.tv/lovethynerd.
Once again, I'm Radio Matt.
And I'm Mo.
And if nobody else tells you, we promise it's true.
Jesus loves you, nerd.
Nerds.